You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We've got a great show planned for you today. First of all, during the first hour, we're going to do our sixth installment, that's number six, to the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy with Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish. How you doing, Rob?
Doing fantastic. How about you, Carl?
Great, great. And you, Wade, how you doing?
I'm well.
Fantastic, fantastic. During the second hour, we're going to have Dr. Judy Kuryansky. She is officially the official Superhuman Radio resident therapist. We're going to be talking about, are we abandoning our humanity when we try to manipulate our emotions? We're a society that thinks that if you're too sad, it's no good. If you're too happy, it's no good. We're trying to always modulate our emotions. But what are the real impacts? Are they good? Are they bad? We'll be discussing that later in the show. All right, so today's topic is, interestingly, called Training from Cradle to Grave. And just this week, we lost a man who is known to be the first Olympic lifter to put 500 pounds over his head. And that is Alexeyev. He died at the ripe young age of 69 years old due to heart problems. I asked Randy Roach about this during an interview last week. And he said that he continued to remain at the very, very heavy weight that he trained at back in the day. And chances are this had a lot to do with it. Rob, were you aware about the death of this amazing Olympic athlete?
I was. I actually heard it on your show, Carl, and I was shocked and taken aback and, you know, saddened. The world of physical culture has lost a giant of a man. We're talking about, for on many counts, the world's strongest man. And I know that's a big claim, and many have laid claim to it, but he held over 80 world records, culminating in gold at the 1976 Montreal Olympics. And it's often been said, you know, in those games, you get three attempts at the lift, right?
Right.
The first attempt, Alexeyev won the meet. The second attempt, he broke his old record, and the third attempt just wanted to send everybody else home.
Yeah,
he was, by all accounts, a man who lived life on his own terms, and God bless him, rest in peace.
Wade, you are a devoted Olympic lifter. What were your opinions of Alexeyev back in the day?
Oh, he was amazing. I remember watching as a kid, you know, during the Olympics. You know, to see someone, you know, doing something because you're seeing for the first time, you know, breaking barriers and not to do it in a light manner, but to be so dominant. I mean, it was one of those things where as a kid, you're just in awe that, you know, that a man that is this large, it can not only be this strong, but can move so dynamically and explosive. And, you know, it's a sad time, you know, when you lose someone like this. They were such a groundbreaker and barrier breaker and set the tone, you know, for as we close in on a, you know, a 600-pound clean and jerk that, you know, no one thinks is possible like they did back in the day when he broke 500. It was an amazing thing to witness.
Yeah. And, you know, he changed culture in general. I remember when Phil Hartman was still alive, Saturday Night Live doing a parody of his clean and jerk where Phil Hartman was in makeup to look like Alexei, and he, when he stood up, his arms stayed attached to the bar. Do you remember that? And the blood was spurting out of his shoulders.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, that was a parody that of Alexei. Like, he was so strong that he could rip his own arms off with his body strength. You know, his grip was so powerful it wouldn't let go of the bar. So, you know, but the guy really did change the landscape, and he made people say, wow, maybe this is possible. Maybe we can even go beyond. Which, you know, that, a question I have for a later show that I want to address is, why is it that we can't reach maximum strength without this creeping along where we see someone else hit, you know, the 1,200-pound squat? So then someone says, well, I can get to 12 plus, and 13 is coming now. And it's like, why didn't somebody squat 13 back in the day? But that's another subject. The subject at hand today is training from cradle to grave. Rob, what do we mean when we say training from cradle to grave?
Well, I think really in terms of your journey or anybody's journey in physical culture, when you start to look back on your life, and I know this is difficult to imagine for guys maybe in their 20s and 30s, but you know, when you turn 40 and you've been to a few funerals, you start to consider your own mortality. And in doing so, I think looking back as to where you're in pinpointing, as to where your journey started in physical culture and why, is just incredibly important. At least it is to me, and I know it is to a lot of other people who, you know, physical culture has done a lot for them. It's pulled them through in life.
But also, isn't training from cradle to grave, doesn't it also speak, Wade, to the commitment that once you start doing this, you have to keep doing it? And, you know, Jack LaLanne is a perfect example. Had Jack LaLanne abandoned his love of physical culture and his drive to train at 4 a.m. every morning for his entire life, I doubt seriously that he lived into his 90s.
I would absolutely agree. One of the things that I teach, especially the younger lifters and athletes that I work with, is that the method and the approach that we use is not only to make you strong and a better athlete right now, but when you become my age, you know, that you're still able to do, you know, not just, you know, kind of be in shape, but that you can actually, you know, really do this. You can still be competitive. And I think what people fail to realize is the body is made to be in motion. And we've talked about this before. It's like the car that you park and is undriven for a couple of years, or a house that's not lived in for a couple of years, and they quickly deteriorate and fall apart. I think it's imperative that we stay in motion. And the other thing that I try to impress upon people is that we're not just working out for a short period of time to obtain a goal. This is about lifestyle change, where it becomes part of who you are, and which is the way I live my life.
You know, someone who is considered the Albert Einstein of anti-aging, who appeared on my show just recently, that was talking about the mitochondria, the effects of exercise, to the upregulating mitochondria, that it may not be the best thing in the world. When I asked him why this was his idea, that increasing mitochondria function, size, is not necessarily a good idea, he pointed to that when you stop exercising, you have these mitochondria that are now not quote unquote employed. And this is Aubrey de Grey I'm talking about, by the way, not employed any longer. So they produce a lot of oxidative stress. And I didn't challenge him because the guy is a genius. I mean, what he can fit on his tongue is more than that's in my entire brain. But I thought to myself, well, that's an easy one to fix. Don't stop training. Because clearly, if that's the threat, it's almost like saying, well, don't start putting money in the bank, because if you lose your job, you won't be able to put money in the bank anymore, and then you'll start drawing down on it. And it's like, yeah, exactly. You know, so this notion that you can train for a while and you don't continue to reap the benefits if you don't continue to train. That's the real gist here. I want to take a quick commercial break. I want to talk about, should we be altering the way we train as we age? And I want you to share some of your own personal insights, Wade, about where you are in your life and your goals and where you hope to be. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. This is the sixth edition of the roundtable discussion on the acquisition of strength and hypertrophy. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Where would you be now? without love.
The most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at primordialperformance.com. Finally, a time-released energy tablet. No more shots or drinks filled with sugar. Atomic Tabs are here. Atomic Tabs are the only time-released high-energy chewable tablet available anywhere. Atomic Tabs have as much caffeine as a cup of coffee combined with energy and focus-enhancing ingredients that will give you a long-lasting wave of energy with no jitters or crash. Energy comes on in 5 minutes after you chew it. Go to atomictabs.com. Be one of the first 10,000 people to sign the mailing list and get a free sample of Atomic Tabs. Go to AtomicTabs.com today. Chew your energy.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
I've received a couple emails from people who have gone to the Atomic Tabs website and may be a little confused. You must click the join button and add yourself to their mail list, and then you'll receive an email telling you when you will receive your free sample of Atomic Tabs. So hopefully that clarifies, if you get there, how to take advantage of that. All right, we're talking today about training from cradle to grave, and hopefully your training isn't speeding you along to the grave, because clearly this could be the case. I want to read an email that somebody sent me back in March that I get these emails all the time. There's a lot of people out there who disagree with me and they take issue with the things that I say. And a lot of times it's taken out of context. During one of my shows, I must have said something about training with health in mind and, you know, you can't beat your body up completely and blah, 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 blah. And somebody sent me, said this was posted on a forum recently. And I'm not going to read the guy's name because I haven't run it by him yet, because who knows if this was really him. But anyway, he said, F. Carl Lenore. He clearly is a big puss who won't lift big because he needs an excuse. I'm 43 years old. I pulled 855 times 6 for 3 sets for rack deads on Wednesday. Man up, 200 milligrams of DECA, and lift until you break something. Now, the problem I have with this is the notion that there are guys out there reading something like that, thinking that somebody as amazing as Alexei took this approach to his training. I'm just going to go and lift everything I can until I break something. I'm so tough. I don't care if I destroy myself in the process because I just love lifting. Does that really get anybody anywhere, Wade? I mean, you're a guy who squats. You're a guy who's in the top 1% in the world of powerlifters. Does that get you someplace? Is that how you train?
No, that's, again, we're on the air, so I'll refrain, but that's BS. Whoever the guy is, I mean, you can give him my name and I'll tell him it's BS. You know, that's the kind of attitude that gives us, especially as big guys, you know, this whole aura of we're just big, dumb people and, you know, everybody shoots up and then we just lift heavy until stuff falls off or we break something or we bleed. And that, you know, that's just simply, not only is that not the way it is, it's really a stupid approach. And, you know, and that's what takes people out of the sport. And I tell the guys that I work with all the time, you're an injury away from being just your basic gym rat that comes in and works out a little bit and goes home. And that's, there's people that is fine for, but not for me. I'm not interested in that. That's not fun. That doesn't stimulate me. You know, my whole approach is what can I do consistently over, you know, the term of training to obtain a goal, and getting all jacked up and doing ridiculous movements until something breaks has never, not only has it not worked for me, it just simply doesn't work.
Okay. With that being said, Rob, do you have an opinion of this commando attitude that my love of the iron dictates that I must sacrifice myself in the quest for greater strength?
I do. And, you know, I have to agree with Wade here. And it's not agreeing for the sake of agreeing. It's just been there, done that. That attitude really is a function of maturity. And it doesn't matter how old that individual is. If he really is lifting those weights, you know, more power to him. But as Wade stated, you're always one injury away. There's two kinds of people in the world, Carl. Those that are humble and those that are about to be humbled. Now, okay, you're a strong guy. You're doing, you know, deadlifts with 800 plus pounds for reps, for multiple sets. On the other end of the spectrum, you've got Adolfo Cerami. Adolfo's using the blueprint and is competing in the wheelchair nationals. His humble yet strong approach in everything that he does speaks so much more eloquently to the people that represent our sport than the, you know, I'm a macho 20-something-year-old guy that's going to be the biggest and strongest in the world. Well, you know what? I got news for you. It's a big world. Look around. You're going to find somebody that's a lot bigger and stronger than you. It's time to drop those kind of notions. And those people, by the way, wind up learning the hard way sooner or later that is the wrong approach.
So should we, Wade, how old are you now?
I'm 46.
Okay. And your last meet, just for those people who may be listening to this for the first time, your last meet, you squatted how much?
1040.
Okay. And your bench press and deadlift are equally impressive, correct?
700 each.
Okay. So that's really, you know, I just like hearing that. But anyway. Okay. So do you foresee a time where you go, okay, I have reached a pinnacle. It is time for me to now start training differently.
Well, I think for me, where I'm at, when I set out on my powerlifting career, I made very specific goals, and I wanted that to culminate into a total that was 2,400 in powerlifting. I wanted to do it. I knew I'd have to do it when I was master aged, and I wanted to do it drug free. And those were goals that I set for myself. I knew being a drug-free athlete that there would be a certain amount of body weight and body mass that it would take, you know, to get that, and that genetically I was big, and that when I reached that point, you know, that I would need to make some changes. And unfortunately, to tie into how we opened the show, like with Alexia, holding on to all that mass, You know, I'm sure he was, you know, big and strong and everything, but, you know, if you're not able to train in the same manner, and at some point, you know, as we age, we just simply can't. But, you know, I think those probably, you know, attributed to his early passing. And so I had reached the goals that I had set, and I felt like it was time for me to make a change and to start dropping the weight. And so as far as how I train, since the meet, which was in February, I up until recently, I hadn't changed anything. I followed the same template. I did the same things that I always did that made me strong. And it was until recently when I dropped a bunch of weight and I could feel my my body leverages change that I thought, okay, I'm going to have to take a step back and make a few changes, but that's kind of a different question. But I think ultimately, I've interviewed Andy Bolton, Donnie Thompson, and these are guys that are 40-plus, and they don't, you know, they don't change the way that they train. So I hope I'm answering your question
there. Yeah, so basically what you're saying in your particular case, it's not about the way you train, but it's about the amount of mass that you're carrying right now. So the objective for you would be to slowly whittle yourself down while transferring the strength that you have mechanically to a different form of kinesiology for your body. Is that right?
I would agree with that. I would absolutely agree with that. And it's why I have changed kind of my template is, again, I've dropped so much weight. We've talked about this. My heaviest was about 365 pounds. And I went into the meet in February. I was about 340 pounds, which was small for me.
Right.
And currently, I weighed in Monday, and I was just right at 325. And you know, a 40-pound drop, you know, for someone at my size, to the point that my leverage has really, really changed. So I'm doing a few things differently, doing some high rep work because, again, I want to do the strongman competition next year, the Olympic lifting. And I've already seen a change in how I'm going to have to approach how I deadlift just simply because the amount of belly that I had is no longer there.
Right. Your center of gravity is changing, actually.
I've had to change. Well, I'm like wearing clothes from, you know, 6-7 years ago, and I've had to, you know, change belts. I've had to, you know, tighten them up and things of that nature. So I knew it was time for me to put in some, you know, a few bodybuilding movements and stuff like that just to kind of, you know, to maintain some mass and to do some things different and to stimulate me, you know, in a different manner. But when I make the weight to go to the 308 weight class and I get that weight to kind of be stable, then I will go back to the template that has made me strong because my full intention is, again, as a master and a drug-free lifter, is at another weight class is total elite.
Yeah, wow. Okay, Rob, should we be altering the way we train as we age? I have an opinion on this as well, but obviously I'm not as credible as you two guys who've actually walked this walk.
Yeah, you absolutely should. And really for me, I split that out, Carl, into two things. One is physical and another one is psychological. The first is on the physical side, you know, you really need to take a look around and look at Paul Anderson and Alexeev and O.D. Wilson. And learn that lesson of, you know, these guys that are carrying 300, 350, 400 pounds, not, you know, they're not the leanest and they're dying early. You know, there's a lesson there. And the lesson is for me, you really need to modify your training and diet to focus on increasing muscle cell insulin sensitivity.
Right.
Now, it's a fact. You know, your insulin sensitivity drops off as you age. And in my book, maintaining lean, you know, maintaining a lean status, being lean, is all about managing insulin. So on the physical side, you're training to manage insulin sensitivity. On the psychological side, I spoke to this earlier. You need to go back in time and identify what got you into physical culture, what got you hooked when that bug bit. And then secondly, identify what's going to keep you in the game. What's keeping you in the game today and what's going to keep you in the game 20 years from now? I guarantee you the answer is going to be different than, you know, why you started. And now let's get back to one other example. Mr. 800-pound deadlifter, you know, who's all about F this and, you know.
And don't shoot. Don't get me wrong. He could be the – I don't know who he is. He could be the nicest guy in the world.
He could be a great guy, Carl, but the fact of the matter is he's doing damage not only to us, but he's doing damage to himself. And let me tell you why. When they put him into the ground and people show up at his funeral, I don't know if you've been to many funerals, but I have. Nobody's talking about what they took from physical culture or what they took from life. They talk about what these people have left behind. Now, I hope this is no time soon, but Wade, when it's time for you to go, I have to believe there are going to be a lot more people talking about the knowledge that you passed on to them than they are about your 1040 squat. As great and as an accomplishment as that is.
Well, let me speak to that. That brings up a point that I, again, it's one of those things when I've had guys go, man, I could, you know, if I could lift some of the stuff that you've done and do some of the things that you've done, and I try to put that in perspective. I don't want this to come across as I'm not an intense individual, you know, and that, you know, lifting heavy weights isn't hardcore, but it's one of those things that I, for me personally, even on an emotional level where you struggle with balance, when you go to try to become an elite athlete, even in the sport of powerlifting, it requires an immense amount of sacrifice. And so the thing that I've always struggled with is maintaining some kind of balance. And I try to put that in perspective. It's like my son, Wes. You know, Wes is never going to remember in another 20 years or when my time comes, he's not going to care about my squat, you know. And was I a good dad? Was I a good coach? Was I a good mentor? And I think that's kind of what Rob is speaking to in some aspects, that, you know, hardcore, you know, is one thing, but kind of a foolish approach is, you know, it kills us. And so I absolutely gotta agree with Rob.
I have to say that I think that you must continue to train hard and heavy. And just for the record, I mean, I'm not a power lifter, but I train as heavy as I can. And I look around the gyms that I train at, and I'm probably in the 40% to 30% of the heaviest lifters. I'm not in the top 10% because there's some very, very strong guys who make it their business that's what they do. They're dedicated to it. I mean, I have a hard time balancing jobs and family and life and, you know, mom in the nursing home. I have a hard time balancing all that sort of stuff and getting to the gym with regularity and being focused and so on, but I do what I can do. And I've always had this belief that I am as strong as I can be. I can't look at Wade. I can't look at Rob. I can't look at the guy who posted this. I can't say, wow, I wish I could be as strong as those guys, because the truth is I'm not willing to put in the time. I'm not willing to cut off all the other things in my life. I'm not willing to become that narrowly focused, because let's face it, we could all do it if we wanted to make that commitment. I'm just not willing to do it, whether or not I can or can't or willing or whatever. But I don't go in the gym and lift light. I mean, you know, I'm still near a 500-pound deadlift, and I'm not training in the deadlift right now. I think that if I trained for the next year in the deadlift, I probably could break 600 if that was my goal. But it would take a lot of focus on my part, and it would take away from other things that I'd have to be willing to sacrifice to become that narrowly focused again.
Yeah, you know, for people at those crossroads, Carl, I would offer this. I see a lot of guys that are either transiently in and out of the gym or they've stopped training. Two things on that topic. One, if you really want to make the gym a part of your life, learn how to make gains. I mean, let's be honest, there's nothing more exciting than seeing progress. And to that end, my blueprint guys, I try to give them as many strategies as possible. But secondly, and more importantly, if you don't have or don't feel that you have the time and energy necessary to make this priority number one in life and be, you know, whatever it is that you can be, instead of going in there for yourself, go in there and find somebody else and make them a star. Pass along what you know and enrich somebody else's life. Because I'm telling you now, if you find the right person, the person that is willing to run through a brick wall but just lacks the knowledge, you will be more motivated than on your best PR day. I'm no Wade Johnson. I don't have the genetics to carry 300-plus pounds. And no, that's not an excuse. So what did I do? I wrote a book to help other people achieve their goals. And I'm telling you, there's no better feeling in the world that keeps you going to the gym than hearing from a guy that just smashed 3 state records on his way to the Worlds.
Yeah, no, it's exciting. It is exciting. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll pick up the discussion. We're talking with Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish. Wade, please plug your websites.
You can see the weightlifting forum at weightliftingdiscussion.com. You can find Ogreware and some supplements at johnsonstrengthgroup.com. And you can find me on Facebook.
There you go. And of course, Rob Regish's book, The Blueprint, is a phenomenal book, and you can actually get a copy of it by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the banner ad at the top for The Blueprint. We're actually going to be doing a show next week, and we've got some people who have been using The Blueprint who are going to come on and talk about their experiences. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today. Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at USCellWellness.com. USCell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at USCellWellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's tests had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today. Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Later in the show, Dr. Judy Kuryansky will be on. We're going to be talking about manipulating your emotions. Some people eat them down, they say. Cover them up. Don't give in to them, actually, is what we're going to be talking about. Is there a price you pay when you don't give in to your emotions? Men are the most susceptible at this. This second interview is going to be really good because I read an article once that said male babies cry as much, if not more frequently, than female babies, and they continue to do this until the age of about 6 or 7, when all of a sudden something changes. And, you know, men die younger than women, and there's a lot of things that we do differently than women. The male brain is different than the female brain, blah, blah, blah. We're going to be expanding on this with Dr. Judy later in the show, and we're going to be talking about female brain as well, because women are guilty of this as well. So you're going to want to hear that. Right now, we're back with Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish talking about training from cradle to grave. What about the cradle end of this? Do you have any opinions of how young you can get a kid involved and what can you get involved with? I recently interviewed a kid. I can't think of his name right now, but I think he was only like 7 or 8 years old. He's ripped to shreds. He lives in the South. Southeast part of the country. I want to say Tennessee or Mississippi or Georgia, something like that. And he even put out a DVD for kids to work out at home. He does all body weight stuff. How young can you get kids involved, you think? Well, you know, Rob, I'm going to start with you because you still have a young son, but then I'm going to go to Wade because he has a son that's followed in his footsteps to some degree. Rob, what do you think?
I think they're, you know, people are spot on in starting their kids early. Now there are a few caveats to that, but historically, if you look at the Eastern Bloc and in particular, the former Soviets, they started their kids at about that age, 6, 7, 8, very young, doing testing to see what sports their particular physiology were most adept to. Now, where things go wrong is where you get those kids into a, you know, weightlifting camp, let's say, and you start drilling, you know, their whole life is weightlifting. I talked to a guy, he was from Bulgaria. Ken Patera actually introduced me to him at a show, and he was very frank with me and said one of the episodes that he had when he was younger is he got in a tremendous amount of trouble with some friends. Why? Because he was so sick and tired of weightlifting and all the drilling that they did, they broke one day to go play soccer. So, you know, the answer is you can start them early, but for God's sake, you know, don't overdo it. It's important to get the central nervous system honed. I'm a big fan of the body weight stuff at that age. And let's face it, building good habits early pays dues.
Well, how old was Wes, Wade, when he got started in his journey?
He probably would kind of just noodle around in the gym with me at 7, 8, 9 years old. And, you know, he was a big kid and, you know, it was more just about him spending time with me, you know, and so it wasn't really until he was about 11 or 12 where you could see, you know, that he was very adept at lifting. And I took him to a meet that I was running in about 2000. He was 12 years old and deadlifted 305 pounds.
Really?
So, you know, yeah, he at 14 he was pulling over 400, and you know, and the rest is history. But
what were some of his top lifts? I remember we talked about this years ago on the show. His top lifts when he was still powerlifting.
When he had just turned 17, he competed. He squatted 805 pounds. He benched 585 pounds. He dieted down from super heavy because I held the Tennessee state record in the American Powerlifting Association at 308. At that point was 605 pounds. West dieted down to 303. He hit 585 and just missed 606, and he pulled 600 pounds. He did some heavier weight in training. But, you know, like we've said, about the time he turned 18 and got finished with football and decided he was going to hang it up and focus on school, he, you know, went to more a bodybuilding approach and started taking off weight. But with Wes, it was more, you know, my whole thing with Wes was teaching him really good technique. We stayed working on technique and we stuck a lot with compound movements versus, you know, doing any type of isolation stuff. You know, I'd let him do curls because he thought that was really cool,
yeah.
You know, but I remember just a quick little aside. We were in the gym. There was four or five of us that were training and Wes had been training with us. And, I looked around and couldn't find him and we saw him down at the dumbbell pit. This is like when he was 13 years old and we were watching him do hammer curls with 40 pound dumbbells. But, you know, you got to understand Wes was a big, big kid. And, you know, I wouldn't suggest that for everyone, but I also agree with Rob. I really like the body weight stuff and just teaching them really, really good habits, especially when it comes to form. And then even with Wes, even though he was someone that was very gifted and very talented, you know, that we took time to go do things like fishing and, you know, go see movies and stuff like that and let them be kids.
Yeah, and that's important too. You think that there's if a parent is listening to this show and they have maybe a 10, 12-year-old son or daughter, I mean don't discount this if you're a woman and you love physical culture and you have a, you know, a 14-year-old daughter, you obviously want to give her this gift because it really is a gift that's going to benefit her health. Do you say to them, come to the gym with me? Do you wait for them to ask? Because you know how it is at that age. Kids are searching for autonomy. They don't want to be with mom and dad. Or if they do, they want to do certain things, but not that. That's not fun. How do you enlist them? Rob, what do you think?
I think that's a passive process. You know, you just heard Wade speak to, I brought my son to a meet. Now, I'm guessing nobody pushed him under a bar and said, squat your lungs out. Instead, he probably saw somebody that he admired in the form of his father, and other individuals having a positive experience. And thereafter, you know, he gravitated towards the activity. You don't push the activity on the kid. You know, everybody's psychological pillars at that age, are different and they're still forming. For those of us that grew up in the 1980s, you know, it was profound. Physical size and strength was everything. For a male, your role models were Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Hulk Hogan was on national television every week. These men had the money, the women, and all the toys that went with that scene. What was the common denominator? Muscle.
Right.
I'm going to go out and get me some of that.
Right.
So, you know, I think you need to be aware of the age that they're growing up in. But more importantly, for God's sake, don't force it. That can backfire on you. And it's backfired on me. I learned that lesson the hard way. Not with my son, but.
We actually went long in one of the segments, so we have to take a break now. But Wade, did you say you had a listener question about training triceps to talk about?
Yeah, a buddy of mine, George Rollins, from South Carolina, whom I speak with online frequently, he knows, and the reason why he's asking, when it comes to strength training, he knows that I'm not a proponent of triceps isolation training, and he wanted us to discuss the pros and cons
okay.
of that.
Okay. All right, so let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we will pick up the discussion. We'll have both Wade and Rob weigh in on tricep training. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hear me, the boom pouring out your car. Hear me, the boom
6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Finally, a time-released energy tablet. No more shots or drinks filled with sugar. Atomic Tabs are here. Atomic Tabs are the only time-released high-energy chewable tablet available anywhere. Atomic Tabs have as much caffeine as a cup of coffee, combined with energy and focus-enhancing ingredients that will give you a long-lasting wave of energy with no jitters or crash. Energy comes on in 5 minutes after you chew it. Go to AtomicTabs.com, be one of the first 10,000 people to sign the mailing list, and get a free sample of Atomic Tabs. Go to AtomicTabs.com today. Chew your energy.
You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay. Training triceps. You know, it's funny. My biceps don't grow. My triceps do. I mean, I don't have to do anything to get my tries to grow for some reason. Anatomically, that's the way I'm created. But so I've done a lot of isolation work. But you don't believe in isolation work for triceps, huh?
Well, not in. It's not that I don't believe in triceps training. It's my whole thing is the whole risk versus reward and what our true goal is. Now, if you want big triceps and you want them to look a certain way, you fire away. But with all the training, with, you know, the stresses that you put on your body, even just squatting and holding the bar and when you pull, because all those big movements engage those muscle groups. And, you know, and I bench twice a week, and so I found, and what I have, my experience leads me to believe, is when that area, you know, is overtrained with all the isolations movements, you're prone to injury, and I see people stagnate, see people with really sore elbows all the time. And when I dropped it and made sure that my priority, the 2 days a week that I benched, was the compound movement, my list continued to go up.
Okay. So in your case, because your triceps are actually part of the equation for your bench press, you're not training them by themselves. You're training them as part of the bench press. Is there a danger to training the triceps? I'm sorry, the triceps, training the triceps by themselves, Rob, when your goal is exclusively strength, that your tricep strength could outpace perhaps shoulder, chest, strength or the back's ability to stabilize in the way of a bench press?
There is, but it's marginal. I'm glad this came up because I get this topic all the time. You know, do I need direct tricep work? Do I need direct bicep work? The answer for the vast majority of individuals is no. Why? If you are pushing and pulling heavy on your compounds, your biceps and triceps are getting one hell of a workout. You know, the number of individuals that have reached the point where they can legitimately look themselves in the mirror and say, you know, in order for me to take it to the next level, I need to get to on a tricep specialization routine. It's few and far between.
Yeah. So depend on the heavy push, the heavy pull moves to develop the triceps and biceps, and don't necessarily do any auxiliary work if your exclusive goal is strength. But what if your exclusive goal is aesthetics?
You know, I'm not the biggest or strongest guy in the world, Carl, but, you know, about 18-inch arms, and people come up to me all the time and they say, you know, how'd you build your arms? And I look at them and I'm honest. I haven't done a curl or a dedicated tricep movement in the last 5 years. You know, if you're looking for aesthetics per se, aesthetics are largely a function of being lean and having a good degree of muscle tissue on you. And how did we do that? Well, we train heavy, and at least in the blueprint anyway, I have guys on caloric zigzags specifically designed to concurrently build muscle and drop body fat. And conventional wisdom will tell you that that's not true or can't happen. Well, you know, I'm here to tell you, I got a list of guys from here to Japan that'll tell you it is real and it is happening.
Yeah, I got an email actually from a guy in Japan that's using your program, ironically. That bought it as a result of listening to the show and had nothing but great things to say. So I know why you threw Japan in there. Okay, so what, any other emails out there that we can address before we close this interview?
I got one more, Carl, and this was an interesting one. One guy asked me, what's the most underrated upper body movement for growth? And my answer, you know, I shot right back at him. It's the pullover, in particular the heavy, easy curl bar pullover, because most guys are going to max out on dumbbells. What I counsel to my guys is a slight incline on the bench and
incline
using an easy
decline.
Curl bar to work up
A slight incline or decline on the bench for a pullover?
A slight incline to
really
accentuate the stretch position movement.
Okay.
Arthur Jones wrote about this in Iron Man as long ago as 1970. It was an article entitled The Upper Body Squat by Arthur Jones.
I like that.
It's an absolutely incredible read. It's a tremendous growth stimulus, not only for the chest and triceps, but the entire upper body, the back.
Well, I'll tell you what one of its greatest values to us aging guys is that as we age, the tissue in between, the supposed to be soft tissue, in between the rib cage becomes harder. And our rib cage actually does not expand the way it used to. And this can actually lead to some very, very nasty issues when there's crowding of organs. And the pullover actually is a good move to stretch the rib cage. You have any opinions of the pullover, Wade, from a strictly strength training standpoint?
It's not something that I've used in probably the last 10 years, but we did it as part of our lat routine in the past. And I agree with you. One of the things, when I was coming up through the sport and followed different bodybuilders, is, you know, was it fact or fiction? Does the pullover actually expand the rib cage, which in turn would make your chest bigger? And, you know, none of us knew the answer to that, but the stretch in and of itself and how it made a lifter feel or a bodybuilder feel was a benefit. So, as a matter of fact, my father was a boxer in the Navy, and one of his favorite movements, and they weren't big on weightlifting back then at all, but one of his favorite movements was doing the barbell pullover.
You know, and I think the pullover should be done with a barbell, a cambered barbell, or even a dumbbell, but not in a machine that locks you into a groove. The pullover can be a very dangerous move in a machine. With that being said, it's a move that if you don't do it, you need to start out light and get your body geared up for it before you start going really heavy. Would you guys agree with that statement?
Yeah, 100%. I have suffered an injury as a result of that, and it was a result of, you know, going too heavy, too fast. We take two approaches in Blueprint, the traditional free weight approach where the resistance is the least when the bar gets over your head or chest per se. And we also rotate that either with bands or on a cable to reverse the strength curve, because at that point where the weight is over your chest or your head when you bring it back up, because of the tension on the cable or the band, the strength curve is reversed.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. All right, I'm going to start doing pullovers. I just started training neck again because I actually started training neck about 2 months ago. I'm attempting to give myself a neck lift with this fat that I've gathered underneath my chin. I figured if I can get a bull's neck, it'll pull that skin out, you know?
I heard that show. It was a great show.
Yeah, yeah, with Brooks. And so I guess I'm going to start doing pullovers again. You know what's really interesting? When you're in this and you're dedicated for your entire life, exercise movements come in and out of your life like friends. You know, you don't see a guy for 5 years, 5 months. All of a sudden you see him and you guys get together and you have a great time and you reminisce and you remember what great times you had together and maybe even hang out once in a blue moon. And then all of a sudden life gets in the way. Exercise movements are the same way. I used to do pullovers and I don't know why I stopped, but now I'll probably add them back in as a result of this discussion. So I love this. It just, even though a lot of the stuff we're talking about is old hat, sometimes you go, you know, I remember doing those. I think I'll start doing them again. So I think I'm going to try them. Anyway, we've come to the end of the interview. Please, let's plug your websites again. Wade, your two websites are?
Weightliftingdiscussion.com is a training forum where you can post your workouts and ask questions. You can find Ogreware and some supplements and a way to get in touch with me at johnsonstrengthgroup.com. You can reach me on Facebook, and you can email me directly at supersquat800@yahoo.com.
Excellent. And, of course, Rob Regish, author of The Blueprint. You can get a copy of The Blueprint by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the banner ad for The Blueprint. Next week, we're going to have some Blueprint users on the show to talk about their success. Guys, as always, thanks for being on the show today.
Pleasure.
Really enjoyed it.
Yeah. And we'll talk again in not next week, but the week after when we do our 7th installment.
Exciting.
And you know what? If those of you have suggestions, please email me at onair@superhumanradio.com, and we'll make sure we cover your questions next show. Take care, guys.
Thanks, bro.
Check it out. Going out on the late night. Looking tough, feeling nice. It's a cockfight. I can tell. I just know that it's going down.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit anabolicminds.com today and get into the action. Anabolicminds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, we live in a society that no matter what emotion you're feeling, somebody's telling you it's the wrong emotion and you should be feeling a different way. This is evidenced by the amount of useless antidepressants that are typically prescribed. My guest this hour is the official Superhuman Radio resident therapist, Dr. Judy Kuryansky. How are you doing, Dr. Judy?
Oh, I'm doing great, and I love that title.
Yes,
and
yes.
I certainly love the way you do your show. You are so interesting to listen to, for me as well.
Oh, thank you so much. That's such a wonderful compliment. Thank you so much. You know, but it is true. You know, and I've often said on the show, when someone is sad, if they have a justifiable reason, they should be sad. If you lose a spouse, if you lose a job and you have turmoil in your life, it's natural to be sad. Yet we look at sadness as an undesirable emotion. And the flip side of this would be if you and I were sitting in the movies having a hysterical laugh at a good Woody Allen movie and someone nudged you and said, you know, you're really laughing a little too much. You should really take this pill so you don't laugh as much. And I think it's so foreign. It's part of civilized life today that we actually try to modulate our emotions so that we're steady all the time. Are we paying a price for this?
I think so. You know, but this is a very interesting subject that we're talking about today on your show because it is a big conflict in psychological research. On one hand, there are the group of people who say, if you really let your emotions out, if you're mad, you get really mad, you slam things around, you throw things, you scream, you yell, of course not to hurt yourself or other people. And that is healthy for you because you are getting it off your chest. And then, Carl, there are the psychologists and the researchers who say the opposite. If you're really letting those emotions out, if you're getting angry, for example, then you could get a heart attack. And these people, I'm sure there are your listeners who've said, you know, people have said to them, don't get so upset. you'll get a heart attack. You know, and the same goes for sadness. Oh, that if you're really, really sad, that this is a bad thing because you're just going to wallow in your misery and people say, get out of it. And then the opposite is, yes, go into your sadness. Well, I happen to be a psychologist who's been around and done this work for many, many years, and I am in favor that people follow their style. If you're someone who likes to get on with things and not go deep in your emotions, I'm certainly not going to tell you that you're wrong or bad, but I am going to give you permission to express the crying, the sadness, or the anger, because I believe after so many years that when you express it, you release it instead of repressing it. Those feelings, Carl, will come out in some other way, and there's a whole bunch of research to show about psychosomatic disorders that if you've got a backache, guess what? Someone is breaking your back.
So the words we actually use to categorize these emotions actually comes back to haunt us.
That's very true. And just as that example, there are many other things. If you've got neck problems and tension in your neck, then you're carrying lots of things on your shoulders.
Yes.
What are you carrying on your shoulders? If you have pain in your heart, then who is giving you heartache?
And you know what? A study was just published, and it's embargoed until December 5th. So I can't get into detail, but they have now found the link between the brain and heart failure. So we now understand that there are certain things that go on in the brain chemically that could precipitate the heart to stop. And they're saying that this is what happens when someone says, you know, you lose a spouse of 60 years and then a year later that person dies and they say, well, he died of a broken heart.
Exactly.
It really does happen. It really does happen.
Right. And some of that is definitely about giving up, that you really deep down, even if it's subconscious, that your body is saying to you, and definitely like you said, Carl, you're always so excellent about this. You are amazing because you know how to say things in really down-to-earth terms, and I know you do your research. I know because we have emailed about
right.
research,
right.
So I want your listeners to know that what you say is backed up by what you read and how you end up looking up scientific reasons for it. So you're really very special in that way.
Thank you.
And it is really true that the brain will, in fact, communicate messages to the body and that people can give up. Like you said, after a spouse dies, people will just give up. They don't want to live. They want to, whether they say they want to join their spouse or not, they just don't want to live anymore.
They don't want to go on. You know, and I've often thought that that's a good place to be, quite frankly. I'd much rather feel like I don't want to go on and I'm done, as opposed to feeling like I just want one more day and going and passing with longing. But with that being said, all of us know someone who has told the story about a parent hanging on at the bed in the hospital on their deathbed until the son or daughter flies across country, the next morning arrives, says goodbye to their parent, and moments later they drift off. They just held on long enough to see that child. And it really comes down to the spirit. And I don't mean the religious spirit. I mean the energy, the spirit. The spirit is what propels us. And when you manipulate your emotions, in my humble opinion, you are doing toxic things to your spirit. I want to talk briefly about this notion. I want to get back to the beginning here. The reason that I wanted to do this show, I remember reading a long time ago that male babies cry as often, if not more often, than female babies up until a certain age, and then that changes. Talk about that for a moment.
Well, you know, what happens with men, unfortunately, and even though we're in the year 2011 now, it's still the societal pressures and the rules that have been ancient still prevail, that men are conditioned not to cry as much. But there is, in fact, some research about this, that chemicals in the brain, since you, Carl, just mentioned earlier about the brain controlling our emotions, which is very true, that women have more prolactin and they have more chemical combinations in their brain that lead them towards more emotional expressions, including about crying. So there is a biological factor to this and then a sociological factor, because everybody knows this. boys are conditioned not to cry as much, to hold in their emotions. And the thing that really worries me now is that girls are being taught the same thing.
Yes.
You know, is to buckle up, come on, be strong, be, you know, be empowered. An empowered woman, you know, is really strong. And I say no, an empowered woman really allows herself to have the full range of experiences. So the answer to your question is both a biological and a sociological one.
And see, I feel that society imposes these things on us, this notion that, you know, only the strong survive, and that somehow showing emotions indicates a lack of strength. That men who cry are wussies, and the reality is that many of us are uncomfortable with our own emotions. So when someone, and I've experienced this in my own life, you have a friend, they start crying. You know you should put your arms around them, but you have a hard time doing it because you're almost repulsed and queasy about their show of emotions. And I believe that it's not so much them that you're embarrassed for, but the fact that your own humanity is, you're seeing your own humanity in them, and you're not comfortable with your own emotions. So you have a hard time putting your arms around them and embracing them and saying, look, it's okay. You know what I'm talking about?
I certainly know what you're talking about. This is why I think your listeners are so blessed with what the things that you say that are so real, and they come from your experience, but they're grounded in scientific findings about things and in what we know in psychology, even clinically, without even research studies. And that is very much supports what you say, that what happens, exactly as you said, that when you see someone expressing, whether it's crying or anger, by the way, it becomes a personal fear that starts in you. Oh, my God, but for the grace of God, there go I. Or I don't want to be found crying. Or I can't possibly express that kind of anger. Or feelings like, I don't know what to do with this. I can't handle this kind of extreme experience. So it's both of those things. The fear within oneself of having those feelings is number one. And secondly, the impotence and the helplessness that people feel when they don't know how to help that person. If you're crying over an experience of being dumped by someone, you know, after you've had 30 years of marriage and you think you're going to be thrown out in the street or you're going to lose your kids and all this, you just, what can you say? You think to yourself. And my answer to that is this. You just have to be there for the person. You do not have to change the situation. You don't have to come up with an answer that is the solution. People just need witnesses, and they need helpful comfort. Just a listening ear to know that someone is there is a very big contribution.
Yeah, absolutely. We have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about the notion of crying as therapeutic. I recently went through a period of my life about 18 months ago where I found myself as a caretaker for not just one sick person, but two. And I became very overwhelmed, and I found crying actually helped me. I want to talk more about this when we come back with Dr. Judy Kuryansky. You can learn more about Dr. Judy at her website, drjudy.com. We'll be right back. I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint Forum to ensure your success. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get
at Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at uscellwellness.com. US Cell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at uscellwellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, melanotan 2, mechanical growth factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I just want to remind you, if you're not already part of the Organic Consumers Association, you need to join. Go to Millions Against Monsanto. Right now, we're involved in a campaign to stop genetically modified foods from finding their way into baby food. The epigenetic effects will last generations if babies are fed genetically modified foods. We already know what they do to adults with intact organs and systems. Imagine a baby whose body is forming at such a high rate, ingesting organically, genetically modified corns and soy and so on and so forth. Go to Millions Against Monsanto and get on the list to get involved. We're talking with Dr. Judy Kuryansky today. And actually, a lot of the stuff we're talking about is actually covered in her book, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Dating, the third edition, which is the male and female brain, how they are designed to work, and how society tells us they should work. And that's where the problem arises. Dr. Judy, I did a show 2.5 years ago about the power of laughter. I actually had a guy on from California who do laughter yoga, where they actually just go in. Oh, it's wonderful stuff.
Yes.
What about the therapeutic value of crying? I found myself as a caretaker for 18 months taking care of a woman with Parkinson's disease and a my mom who was becoming senile. And I remember being on the edge of feeling like I wanted to cry all the time, but not giving into it. Then one night I just cried and I felt odd crying. I didn't even like the sound of my own wailing. But shortly thereafter, I felt like as though someone had discharged my capacitor. I felt calm again.
Yes, wonderful. And caretaking is such a stressful experience. You want to give so much and you feel so helpless, and that frustration lends itself to all that sense of stress that has to go somewhere. It has to be released, Carl, and that's what you did, and I'm proud of you for it, because that is healthy. The wailing, when people are in therapy and they are on the verge of crying, I encourage them to go through what's called an emotional release. An emotional conditional release means, here's the process. You start out and you just be talking about what's bothering you. It could be, you know, I'm so, like you, for your situation. You know, I feel so helpless about my mom, you know, losing her mind or going through dementia. And then you start, like, talking more about it, and then you would be encouraged to say more about that. Don't care about it making sense. Let it go where it goes. And people end up saying things they don't even know where it's coming from. It just, even from a psychoanalytic type of view, it goes from one association to another, and then you allow the tears to come, and then you're encouraged to say, okay, cry even, see if you could let the cry come from deeper inside you. And then you don't even think about it. Don't stop yourself. Just let your whole body get into it. And that is a release. The chemicals flow in your body, and afterwards you are calm. And guess what?
What?
That is the same. Since you have all, you talk about all these products, and I get fascinated by listening to them. You're discussing about them. And that it, those products help you to get the energy in order to move your body in a stronger way. Well, that releases chemicals in your body that are stress-reducing chemicals. The kinds of combination of them that flow create ultimate relaxation. Even though you're spent, even though you're exhausted, even though your eyes sting from the toxins that are being released when you cry, you eventually, after you stop heaving about it, feel way better.
And these chemicals we're talking about, I'm assuming, and I am just assuming, one of them is oxytocin, maybe, other than some endorphins, oxytocin.
Endorphins, the endorphins are certainly, those are the same chemicals that are released in sex, in an orgasm.
Right.
They're the same chemicals that are released when you exercise great deal, when you hit the wall, when you're running, for example.
Right.
And they are similar chemicals can be released after a major physical release and expression and crying and heaving. See, little few drops here and there is not the same as when you did what you're talking about. The wailing and the heaving is, you know what? People cry during an orgasm. It's the same release.
Right.
It's people laugh during an orgasm. That's also a release.
Right.
They're very similar. Similar synapses in the brain get triggered.
Well, women seem to have a license to cry. They're able to cry, but men don't have a license to cry. And part of my process was I just had a feeling that I knew if I cried, I'd feel better. I've heard women say, I just need a good cry. And I thought, you know what? But I had it took me weeks to, I locked myself in a bedroom at one point in time because I didn't want anyone to hear me because I was embarrassed. And what do men need to do to overcome civilized sociological pressures that are put on us not to cry? How do we break out of that?
Well, how did you do it? You did it.
Oh, I had no choice. I felt like I was dying. I was running from morning to night. My mom would wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and start cleaning the house and wake me up. The next morning, I had to get up and go to the gym and then go do a show. And I was literally, having a meltdown, a nervous breakdown, I think, is what I was having. So
my heart goes out to you. Any one of us, I go through similar things. I know so many people who are in that sandwich generation and who are going through the aging of their parents, and it's so painful because you know, it's painful to see someone you love deteriorate, and it's also painful for yourself when you project, even if you're unconscious about it, that, oh my God, that's going to be me in 20 years from now.
Right.
So, you know, and then there are the pressures, as you said, in general of being up and figuring out about their life and taking care of them like you take care of a kid.
Right.
You know,
and that's so exactly what it was like. It was a child who didn't want to listen to me. At least kids listen to you. Parents think they're still your parents. So when you tell them to do something, they don't do it.
Exactly. So that's the thing. I'm the mother. the kids don't tell me what to do. And also it's difficult because of the brain changes. It's difficult for them to learn. The difference with kids is that when you explain, don't, you know, touch the stove here, they can learn. But when the brain changes with a dementia situation, then the learning capacity is gone. And so 2 seconds later, they forgot what you taught them.
Right.
So that's part of the problem and why the frustration is a little bit escalated. But in that situation, see, you reached the wall and you had to do it. Very much as a psychologist, I would encourage for your male listeners that they don't wait till they hit the wall and have to do it. But I agree, going into a room where you're quiet, where you feel that you are secure and safe and that you can express yourself without the embarrassment and the social constraints that come with it, that's a very good thing. But give yourself permission as a man to have these experiences. Women need to let their men have these permissions. You know, this has been a problem too, really, Carl, that there are some women who want alpha men they don't want. They secretly don't want their men to cry because it's frightening to them that then they won't be taking care of them. So the true strength of a person, I believe, as a psychologist for so many years, is that you allow yourself to have the extreme of emotion because you know that you are strong, you know that you're going to recover, and you also have confidence that that is going to make you a stronger person once you have let out the steam. Think of it that way. If you've got a pot of boiling water,
right,
you've got tea, it needs to whistle. It has to let the steam out or it will implode from within.
Well, you know what? We have a growing problem in this country. Because of the economic challenges of this country and because of men's genetic predisposition as hunter-gatherers and providers, men find themselves out of work and unable to support their families. And what ends up happening is they internalize this anger. They internalize this emotion. The emotion really should be sadness. But instead, because we're told, hey, keep a stiff upper lip and real men don't cry, we take the energy, the emotional energy that we should be feeling, and we transmute it to anger. So we say, you know, I'm angry at the guy who fired me. I'm angry at the bank that took my house. I'm angry at the politicians who are dragging their feet to fix this. I'm angry, angry, angry. And so little at a time, the emotions that you would use to cry and feel bad, rightfully so bad about things, become invested in anger. And then, like you said earlier, something happens, something small, something where the appropriate response would be to say, hey, don't do that. And you explode. And next thing you know, you got an AK-15 and you're walking into the post office and you're blasting people. And you don't even know why, because it's not the reaction to the event. It is the weight, the gravity of all of this emotional energy that you have transferred into anger inappropriately, because anger is seen as an acceptable male quality.
I totally agree with you, and that's so well put. It's perfect. And there's an interesting principle about that is, could be very helpful to your listeners, and that is, when you are mad, get sad. And when you are sad, get mad. And the reason for that is what I explained before. That principle is based on that it's just an extreme of emotion. It's just that big buildup, like the water boiling. And it comes out in one way or another.
Right.
And to some extent, we are either socialized to express it as anger, more so for males, and crying more so for females, or it is part of the way we personally are more comfortable, or the way we've been trained, or the way that we have had experience doing and knowing that releases us. So it is just a release that men are more comfortable doing, and that's okay.
Right.
And I think to a great extent, if men allowed themselves to be angry along the way in a constructive way, see, this is the big difference. Just getting mad without constructively using it psychologically ends up being useless.
Right.
You have to take that anger and turn it into a lesson, some kind of constructive way of dealing with things. So just the expression is not good enough and not healthy enough. Then you can just repeat it and again, and that's when men can end up having heart attacks about it. But if they take that anger and use it constructively to understand themselves and come to some new way of functioning, that's when the anger can be helpful. And, you know, as you were saying, it's something that, you know, men learn to do, and they blaming someone else, though, about a call, I'm not against that, too. You have to You have you can go stomp around and say that blankety blank boss or that blankety blank employee or ex-wife or ex-husband or whatever you want to say, okay, but then take responsibility. So what is the contribution the other person has to your upset, and what is your own responsibility? You must do both.
Okay. We have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, what I want to talk about now, which just dawned on me while you were saying these wonderful things, is you must be mindful and aware, because your emotions kind of happen on their own. You're just kind of an innocent bystander quite often watching them happen. What do you do in order to catch yourself so that you can make these changes? We're talking with Dr. Judy Kuryansky, and you can find a lot of the information we're talking about in The Complete Idiot's Guide to Dating. Even though this book says it's about dating, it really is about the male and female brain. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me, and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it, and you'll be a believer too.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your miracle noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine. And no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Judy Kuryansky this hour. The subject matter, ignoring your humanity, the upside and downside of managing emotions. You can learn more about Dr. Judy by going to drjudy.com. Okay. In order for this to really work, especially for men who have probably not been doing the right thing for many, many years, and the mounting emotional energy in the form of anger has been stored up, You have to have a method of awareness so that when, because let's face it, when something happens, your spouse, your boss does something, your emotions lead you. They don't, you don't lead them. It's not like you go, okay, I'm going to turn on anger now. Anger turns on and you kind of go for the ride. How do you, first of all, affect some sort of awareness that then you can trigger the alternate response, to choose to trigger the alternate response?
Well, I think that you first allow yourself to go into the emotion. It's very hard, as you said, Carl, to just go, oh, wait a second, I'm getting mad, let me get sad now, as the principle that I mentioned before.
Right.
You allow the emotion to happen, and as you very wisely said before, go with that, what you did instinctively, go into a safe place. Don't express it necessarily at the person at the moment. That's what will be helpful to you. Say, excuse me, go into some other place. Because that big well that you mentioned may come from someplace else. It's not just about that situation. If it's really a big expression of anger, then it's coming from something else. And so go into a safe place, be it a bathroom, another room, let yourself have the explosion, and then it can transform.
Interesting, interesting. I mean, I would really like to see men begin to give themselves permission to experience sadness to the degree where they, if they feel like they want to cry, they do. Because I have a funny feeling that a lot of men would end up healthier, number one, and emotionally more stable. They wouldn't have this weight that they're carrying around, as you talked about earlier in the show, in their shoulders, in their neck, in their back, that is just mounting and mounting and mounting. But it almost seems, as I'm saying this, I'm already thinking about the responses my audience is having in their own heads. The guys out there, especially my audience, you know, we train hard, we lift heavy weights, we're alpha males, we want to be alpha males. But you know what? One of the job descriptions on an alpha male is not crying. Well, you know, I'm trying to understand why. What happened in our society? Who promoted this notion that feeling that emotion that stimulates you to cry is a negative? When did it become a negative? Any idea?
Well, it becomes a negative as soon as the little boy is told by his dad, usually, not to cry. That's when it becomes negative. Otherwise, the kid would cry. You see little kids crying. But for men, and for the men listeners, I know your guy listeners are alpha males, and that's great. And it's okay for you to not go around. I'm not here to tell your listeners, who I know are, you know, really building up their strength emotionally and physically. That's great. Don't go out and weep, you know, like a baby. But know that it's okay when you're feeling that emotion, as you just very kindly shared with your audience about when you really were pushed up against the wall about your mom and the woman you were helping with Parkinson's, then let yourself do it and know that you are a human. That's the name of your show, Superhuman.
Right, right. I think that being superhuman should speak to the fact that you do not, you're not afraid of your emotions. You let them happen. You know, the other problem I think with men especially is that men for some reason have taken on the objective, and again, maybe it's our genetic predisposition as hunter-gatherers and caretakers, that when we see a child crying, as you said, maybe some of us who are counseling our own children, we see our son crying, instead of saying, hey, don't cry, I think men see themselves as needing to fix things. So when they see someone crying, the first impulse they have is, I have to do something to make this person happy now.
Right. Well, that's interesting that you say that, because that's one of the things that I talk about, as you mentioned, in the Brain Differences of Men and Women in the Idiot's Guide to Dating book that I wrote, that indeed men do have this tendency, which is certainly a positive thing, to fix things, whereas women see that really talking about the issue is in it. Essence, a solution itself, because it is that release. So the male desire to fix things is part of why they resist allowing other people to go through these emotional releases and share about personal stories and talk about all the trauma in their life, because then they want to say, what are you going to do about it? And guess what? I'm not against that either, Carl. Your listeners should know that's good, and women need to learn that lesson more. It's not just about saying, oh, boo-hoo, this is what happened, but you've got to do both. You've got to let the feelings out and then say, okay, now what do I do? What are my strategies?
Do you foresee a time in the future where men will embrace crying, truthfully?
Well, I think they already are.
You really don't?
There already are more men who are given permission to do that. And it's a slow process because of the biological and the sociological issues that we've talked about. And guess what? It's the same for women. The men who are listening would certainly appreciate for their female partners to be more focused on solving a problem rather than just crying about it.
Yeah.
So it works both ways. I think the most important thing for your male listeners is not to really be critical of women, and works the other way too. It's not very helpful to go to a partner and say, you know, why are you just crying so much? Get over it.
Yeah.
You know, that's not helpful, but it is helpful to tell her something like, oh my gosh, you're crying. I hear that you're really upset. Okay, I'm here with you to, like, get through when you're crying, and then we can talk about what some of the strategies and solutions are. That would be helpful to your female partners.
I know, and it comes back to that feeling of inadequacy when you see someone crying. You
right.
almost you have a sense of inadequacy in you, and discomfort.
Right.
And you want, and you just want, and you really just want them to stop.
Right.
It's just like, look,
right.
just stop, okay? I can't take this. It's not right. because you can't take it. I can't
right.
take it.
That's what the guys are going through. Exactly. Yeah. So that's why if they examine to themselves and say, okay, that's, you have to make a separation in that case and say there's boundaries. I am not the other person. And it takes a really strong person to be able to hear somebody else's pain without feeling it. It really takes a lot. And, you know, in a certain way, women are trained more to do that, to empathize and, you know, to feel the pain, but not to be able to not go there. You know, for men, they feel the pain, and then they want to shut off the pain.
Right.
So with learning all these things that we're talking about, if the guys can more say, okay, I'm going to listen to that pain. I don't have to, like, think I'm falling apart. You know, and I can be strong and really hear this and be there for the person and not stop them from feeling that way. This is what we learn, by the way, and I've certainly had lots of experience in this, in traumas. I've been to Israel, talking to Israelis and Palestinians.
Right.
You know this, you know, to Haiti, to China after earthquakes, to Japan after the tsunami earthquake, to Sri Lanka after the tsunami there, to 9/11. I mean, think about it. I went through being part of the mental health first responders after 9/11.
Wow.
Around the pit. So, Carl, who was I really there to help? Alpha males,
yes.
who were the firemen, the policemen, the electricians, the construction workers who were clearing away the debris and the bodies of their fellow firemen and policemen. And these men really needed to know it was okay to function and also to let out their feelings.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We have to take our last commercial break. And when we come back, we'll wrap up the interview. We're talking with Dr. Judy Kuryansky. You can learn more about her by going to drjudy.com. She's got a bunch of great books. The one we're talking about more so today is The Complete Idiot's Guide to Dating. While it says dating, it's really about the male and female brain. We men have to realize that strong men cry. That's got to be the new mantra for men. If you feel like crying and you feel those tears welling up in your eyes, don't fight it back. Let it come out because it's healthy. It's natural. It's as natural as taking a breath. You wouldn't keep yourself from breathing. You wouldn't be able to do it very long, obviously. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Protein is the building block. block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart-healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at uscellwellness.com. USCell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at uscellwellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
Jumping higher, left and more, it's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. James Godden just posted on my Facebook, Carl, I just tried Quest Protein Bars for the first time. Hands down, one of the best tasting bars I have ever had. You can get two free Quest Protein Bars by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Quest banner ad. 20 grams of high quality whey isolate, 18 grams of fiber per bar. I mean, it's just the best, the healthiest protein bar on the market today, and they all taste fantastic. Check it out. My guest this hour, Dr. Judy Kuryansky. Go to drjudy.com to learn more about her. Or pick up the book, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Dating. You know what? Pick this book up even if you're married. You should be dating your wife. Keep the love alive. Okay.
That's really great. Actually, that's very funny that you said that, because I first wrote The Complete Idiot's Guide to Dating, and then The Complete Idiot's Guide to Healthy Relationship evolved out of that, because the idea was, well, once you found that special something, where do you go now? And then The Complete Idiot's Guide to Tantric Sex, which you and I talked about once, came out of that, because once you've got the healthy relationship, how are you going to keep it going and keep it intimate and keep it sexy?
Yeah, that's great. This is like a home study course for
right,
relationships.
A home study course,
you
right.
start out with 101 and go all the way up to 301.
Exactly. And the things about writing idiot's guides, just as an aside, that's really interesting, is that some people write books about one part of what it is. Every chapter in there is a book in itself. It was such a huge job.
I can imagine, because you have to cover every
right,
single aspect.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking, we do have more male figures in movies today. I have to commend Javier Bardem, I think I'm saying his name right, and Eat, Pray, Love at the end. Right. He cried. And I was thinking about this during the break, and I realized, I know it's not an epiphany, but I realized the reality of why men don't like to cry. And it's because men have a difficult time being vulnerable.
Yes.
Which leads into our difficulty being intimate, because in order to be
right.
intimate with someone, you have to be vulnerable. In order to be vulnerable, you have to trust. And men have been taught our whole lives, you don't trust anybody. Everybody's out to get you. You got to get them first. And these are the mantras that we learn. So really, it's almost like you have to kind of decompartmentalize all of these little messages we get to get to the bottom. And the reality is that men have a difficult time being vulnerable. We see it as a weakness.
That is so true, and true to the way how amazing that you are, Carl. You just described it so beautifully. It becomes that vicious cycle, and the real key is that need to be vulnerable and to allow yourself to submit. Now, interestingly enough, that is considered such a female way of
right.
being in sex, for example. Now, I don't want to use the R word there, but, you know, that was one of the women's favorite fantasies, is to submit. Oh, he made me do it. Oh,
right.
you know, he's taking over. And so men are used to that in sex, that that's what their expected role is. But interestingly, in tantric sex, the key is for men to allow themselves to be pleased and to really submit. Now, we could use a different word for it, because maybe that has a negative connotation
right.
in the male world. But to allow yourself to receive, maybe, you know, we could say, but certainly the word you used is very essential, and that is allow yourself to be vulnerable, because for intimacy, you must be vulnerable.
But you know what? I want to reframe things for a second, and I want to go
okay,
back.
Okay, I love that you used that word. That's okay.
Yeah, no. I just had another thought. You know, it's like when we look at the male characters in movies that we admire the most, whether it be Schwarzenegger, whether it be Clint Eastwood, any of these, James Bond, they were actually submissive in their approach to dealing with the oncomers. If you think about James Bond, if you think about Clint Eastwood, they were always calm and relaxed. They did not become ready to fight. They weren't on the balls of their feet. They were submissive. They were standing back. Why? Because ultimately they knew they had the power to overcome, so they didn't have to be overly aggressive. They were able to sit back and let the situation unfold, because they knew they can handle it. So really, when you really think about it, when you crystallize this whole concept, being vulnerable is an attribute of someone who feels complete strength.
Well, that is the paradigm, and that's the wonderful message that you're giving your listeners today, that in fact that is what seems to be something that doesn't make sense, but does, that to allow yourself to be open is to allow yourself to be stronger, because then you know deep down, I can handle whatever comes up. Not what comes my way, but whatever comes up inside me. So you're right. And you're certainly right also in thinking about that, you know, we learn a lot about our ways of being by the role models in movies. And so we could look at plenty of them. But, you know, there's an important example that I always look towards in terms of male functioning and trauma, and that is Rudy Giuliani was the mayor of New York City at the time of 9/11.
Right.
Everybody knows that.
Right.
And the key, and there's, I've known Rudy for year, I don't know how many years, 35 or whatever. My husband and he were assistant U.S. attorneys together in the Southern District of New York, and then Edward was in his administration, and Rudy's gender, so I know him very well. He is a very strong alpha male, and yet at 9/11, what did he do? He cried.
Yeah.
And he cried. I got goosebumps talking to you about this now, Carl. He cried because his friends died in that attack.
Right.
And he lost people, and he stood up there at the memorials, and he let those tears come. And he was a very good example then of how an alpha male can cry.
Yes, I like that. That's a great story to close on. Tell me real quick, what are you doing at Columbia University? Let me in on it.
Oh, my goodness, I'm sitting here right now.
I know.
Oh, because they answered the phone. Well, I teach here. I teach a course in the psychology of human intimacy, and I supervise lots of students who do their projects about purpose in life and about sexuality and about international projects that I'm doing in Haiti and Africa. And so it's a great place. It's a teacher's college. It's a graduate school here. I got my PhD in clinical psychology at NYU where I taught, and now I'm over at Teacher's College, and they have a clinical training program. And so that's where
wonderful,
I am now.
Wonderful stuff. Always a privilege to have you on the show, Dr. Judy. I love our interviews. I want to thank you for coming on today and talking about this. This really is an important subject. I hope that if one guy in the audience finds himself up against the wall and cries and finds out that he feels better as a result of that cry, then I'm happy with this show.
That's great.
Thank you so much. And again, go to drjudy.com to learn more about Dr. Judy. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay, great.
Okay, thank you. All right, so there you have it. Another episode of Superhuman Radio has been completed. I want to also thank Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish for coming on and talking during the first hour, our sixth installment of The Acquisition of Strength and Hypertrophy. And, of course, Dr. Judy has great books out there. If you are married or if you're planning on being married someday or planning on being with someone else, if you're planning on just staying by yourself forever, you don't need Dr. Judy's books or deodorant for that matter. But if you are planning on interacting with other people, she's got great complete idiot's guides out there on dating, on maintaining relationships, and on tantric sex that are fantastic, I can promise you. Alisa is working diligently on a fantastic Casual Friday tomorrow. You're not going to want to miss tomorrow's show. Thank you for listening today. As always, it's my privilege to have you as my audience. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.